Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
It is the Deacon.
And the Dee.
Two Dees. Well, sort of. One Dee for Deacon and the other for the lovely Dee. Welcome to Catholic Vitamins. This is Catholic Vitamin...
Grace G. Grace Revisited.
Yes. I'm sorry. I meant, what show is it?
You weren't clear about that.
Oh, stop, stop. All right, what show is it?
Number 454.
And for KPIH, our Catholic radio station in our community.
Episode 102.
So, D, speaking of our Catholic Vitamins show, we are revisiting the subject of grace, as you said, Grace Revisited. And to do that, we're having a lady who is Catholic by grace. Her name is Denise Bossert. We first had her on our show in the earliest of years, and then I think we had a Catholic vitamin of grace with Denise, and she claims that she is Catholic by grace, and isn't it true that everything that happens in our faith walk that is goodness comes about
grace.
By grace? Absolutely. Denise is a convert to the Catholic Church. She's the daughter of a Protestant minister. They call them PKs. Did you know any PKs when you were growing up?
I had a first cousin who was a PK. I have first cousins who were PKs. My mom's brother was a minister.
In 2005, Denise Bossert converted to Catholicism after reading books by Carmelite saints. And her syndicated column called Catholic by Grace has been published over the years in 63 diocesan newspapers. She's been a travel writer. I mean, she's just a speaker, an absolutely wonderful Catholic lady, and we're so pleased to know her a bit, and we're waiting for her to come to Arizona and visit. But for now, we are entering prattle for the show. Dee,
since our last episode, we had an open house at the new studio.
KPIH opened up a studio, I guess it was in the beginning of May, and we moved from upstairs in an office with slanted ceilings. Our bishop bumped his head three times when he was in to bless the studios, and we moved down to a flat roof studio, and it's quite lovely.
On ground level with more rooms, more space, don't feel so crowded now.
And even though we had the coronavirus concerns or being careful, we had many people come by and visit, excuse me, and we served some sandwiches and hot coffee and cold water.
We set all that up outside so people could distance themselves, and we took people one by one in to take a tour of the studio.
Right, right. And we had some nice comments. We had some lovely donations, and I want to thank the Knights of Columbus, the Payson Council, Payson, Arizona Council of the Knights of Columbus, for two separate checks that came about for two reasons. One was ticket sales that they do for a state raffle that they have, and the local council was good enough to give us a share of the proceeds that came from that, and they also invested in KPIH to help us put on some announcements and support for a blood drive that's happening in our community. So I'm glad that we're working with the Knights. Very grateful for that. And thank you to the people who came by and just wanted to chat and see what we were doing in our new studio, which looks very nice. And it's compliments in a big way, besides the donors, it's compliments of John Trouchel, who is our retired CBS radio engineer.
Right.
Who worked a lot of hours, and he really put together a beautiful setup in our studio. if the name John T. sounds familiar to any locals or people who listen to us on our streaming web signal. John T. does a music hour, and he picks usually a performer, a featured performer.
Usually contemporary artists.
More on the contemporary side, but every once in a while he does some traditional stuff. And we enjoy his show, and then there's Bev First, who does a program called Tried and True. Tried and True. And her focus is a little bit more on traditional stuff, but she does play some popular music as well. If you are out in, Florida, or if you're down in Texas and you have somehow discovered Catholic Vitamins recently or a long time ago, and you want to know what we do in our community for Catholic radio, just go to www.kpihradio.com. And there's a button you can click on to listen to us live. And every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. and 8 p.m., we have one of our local shows or our featured shows. So Monday is Catholic Vitamins on our radio station, and that's at 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. Wednesday is John T's Music Hour, and that's at 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. And Friday is Bev First and her Tried and True. In between, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we feature Terry and Jesse, two guys with PhDs in common sense. And they often say that in our world, common sense isn't very common anymore. So they're on fire. Well, that's our first segment. Our music artist today is Danielle Rose. We're going to talk about her a little bit when we get back on the other side.
Would you like to hear a story, child? Come sit upon my knee. This is how your life began, how we became a family. Within your mother's womb, another father gave the seed. But she couldn't care for you alone, and God has chosen me. Whoa, the father woke me from.
Lovely voice was, of course, Danielle Rose. She is a beautiful wife and mother. She's been a good friend of Catholic Vitamins over the years. We've sort of left her alone because of her starting to raise a family. And she has a new project that she's gotten started called Momastery. Not Monastery, but Momastery. And you can listen to that song and see the official music video on her website, which is
DanielleRose.org.
DanielleRose.org. Lovely music from Danielle, and we're hoping, and we've actually helped a little bit in our own way, to financially support her new album that she's working on. And speaking of nice music, I think you told me, Dee, that you had a little bit of feedback from...
We heard from Francesca.
Francesca La Rosa, who was our guest last week on Catholic Vitamins. We had some really nice feedback about her, and she sent in some words about our Catholic Vitamins effort. So good music, good messages, good faith. That's what we're about here on Catholic Vitamins. Dear, I noticed that Bishop Weisenberger, our bishop in the Tucson Diocese, now I happen to be serving in a parish that's in a separate diocese, because I'm serving in an ordinariate parish. Oh, boy, to try and explain that to our listeners in a half a moment. But two bishops in charge of the same area, kind of unusual. At any rate,
the Bishop of Tucson.
Bishop of Tucson is holding an hour of adoration before the Blessed Sacrament. He's putting it on Facebook, and by the time most of our listeners hear this, we passed that event, but you could go to the Diocese of Tucson website and look at it. And
he said he's doing this on Sunday, July 5th.
Yeah, he said to make sure you have your rosary, so you know he's going to be praying the rosary in front of the Blessed Sacrament.
And this is all for an end to the coronavirus.
Amen. Amen. May God be merciful, please. Well,
speaking of that coronavirus.
Yeah, there's been a reactivation in Arizona and I guess through the South, Texas and Florida and other places, more on the South side, about the number of diagnosed cases coming up. And I was reading about a priest who, not in the Tucson diocese, but in another location, who really is upset, very upset with the governor telling them they can't do masses and they can't have people attending church services. He said, you can go to bars and restaurants, you can go to massage parlors, but you can't go to church.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
I know it doesn't. And I will say that he respectfully said, I will obey my bishop. The bishop is ordering them to not have masses because of this reactivation. He said, I'll obey the bishop, but I sure am not happy about obeying the governor. Dear Lord God, let us return to our faith in so many ways, in so many ways. Next up, Tony Agnese.
It was a long day as I left the Project Homeless Connect event at the Civic Center. Over 450 homeless people had received help during the course of the day, and we all felt gratified that we had done something to help. Hi, this is Tony Agnese. As I walked to my car parked several blocks away from the event, I noticed a man leaning against a trash container, obviously looking disheveled. You could tell at a glance that he'd been on the street for a while, but I didn't recognize him from the event. As I walked and observed, I noticed several people crossing the street to avoid him. On the other side of the street, there appeared to be a lost dog, and many of the people that avoided the homeless man were gathering around the lost puppy. I thought of the parable of the Samaritan in Luke's Gospel. Both the priest and the Levite crossed the road to avoid the traveler that had been beaten and left for dead. As I walked toward the man, a young woman, neatly dressed, approached him and asked if he needed help. By then, I was near enough to ask if he had been to Project Homeless Connect. He said no. He was unaware that the event had happened just a couple of blocks away. Knowing that there was food left over from the day, the young woman, whose name was Debbie, and I walked him to the Civic Center, where we got him something to eat and introduced him to a shelter director who volunteered to help him find a place to sleep for the night. As I walked away, I turned to Debbie and said, "Thank you for caring." I could tell by the look in her eyes as she fought back tears that this was a loving, caring person. She was a modern-day version of the Good Samaritan. As I began my drive home, a report on the radio caught my attention. The newscaster said, "The pet business has become an $8 billion industry. Pet spas, pet parks, pet designer clothing, gourmet dog food have all become commonplace." $8 billion, I thought, and this man can't get a meal, shelter, or even be noticed by the people who walked by him to come to the aid of a lost dog. Now, not that I have anything against dogs and cats, but we're talking about a human being. Project Homeless Connect was canceled this year for lack of funding. And I know the pet industry has probably grown by another $1 billion. It's sad because now, while Fido is getting a massage at the doggy spa, the homeless have to rely on Samaritans like Debbie for their survival. This is Tony Agnese.
If you look in the Catholic Catechism, the definition of grace is the free and undeserved help that God gives us to respond to His call to become children of God, adoptive sons, partakers of the divine nature and of eternal life. The sacraments and the sacramentals are also means of grace, but we need to respond to God's grace. Next up, our time with a graceful friend, Denise Bossert.
Well, as you've heard in the earlier part of the show, we are blessed, very, very blessed, to have a return visit from a dear friend and a dear evangelist, Denise Bossert. Denise has been associated with Catholic Vitamins quite a while back, and then she had some other obligations that drew her to teaching, and we maintained our contact, and I reached out recently to ask Denise if she would help us to look at today's Catholic Vitamin G for grace, and she jumped on it so very quickly. Denise, welcome back to Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be back with you.
All right. Well, in case we've picked up new listeners or there are people who don't know about your background, would you, before we get into your current work in ministry, tell us about your faith walk?
Sure. Well, I'm an odd bird. I'm a convert that's a former Protestant preacher's daughter. My dad was a minister, and I grew up in a pastor's home. Kind of a varied background even at that. My dad was a Wesleyan Methodist minister until I was in fourth grade. Wesleyan is pretty conservative. They talked a lot about holiness and sanctification and the sinner's prayer of repentance. You know, Jesus, come into my heart, be Lord of my life. And I said that prayer in second grade. And then when I was in fourth grade, we had some family events. My grandfather, who was a farmer, passed away. My dad stepped away from ministry and took over the farm for a year. And then he, at that point, was being asked by a Presbyterian church to come and fill in while they were looking for a new pastor. And he, they loved him, and so they invited him to become their new pastor, and he went to seminary. And so then Dad became a Presbyterian pastor. And so I was exposed to another variety, I guess, if you will, of Protestant denomination. It was a little closer to the early church in that it had Presbyterians have two sacraments. We learned the Apostles' Creed, which I'd never even heard of at that point, and the Lord's Prayer, which, of course, I didn't know either, the Our Father. So we learned the Our Father. I had not been baptized because Wesleyans believed in baptism at an older age when the child can request it. So when I asked for it, actually, in second grade, Dad was still Wesleyan, and they said, no, you're too young. And then when Dad became Presbyterian, they didn't even ask me, okay, so now you are. So, but that's, you know, just a variety of things. And later when I did come into the church at 40, I realized that the gems that I saw in those denominations and then other denominations, they were all in the deposit of faith in the Catholic Church, and that I had access to the full treasure box. And not just a few. I didn't have to choose. It was all mine. So I married right out of high school. My father took a new pastor right before my senior year of high school. I was really lonely and upset because of it. Started dating, became serious far too soon, and got married. We have three children. That marriage was later declared non-sacramental. It ended in divorce. Before that, though, he went into ministry himself. So for a short time in my life, I was actually a pastor's wife. So I have a very colorful background.
My.
Yeah, and so after that, I tried to get my life in order, and I thought going on and getting a master's degree would do it. So I went and I pursued a Master of Arts in English Studies. Married, met someone, my husband, in the master's program. We have a daughter. And then when my father became sick, and he was suffering greatly and eventually passed away, it was my question regarding suffering that led me into the church and gave me the answers that I was seeking. And before I was fully into the church, the last few months of RCIA class, I sent an article to my diocesan newspaper, and they ran it, and they've been running my articles each month since then. That was 2005. And other diocesan newspapers had picked it up as well. So It's been quite a ride. Just the joy of my life, really, to be at home in Mother Church.
So it seems like you have always been walking with the Lord, which is a beautiful thing to share. During this faith walk, did you have any significant aspects of increase in faith or faith practice or change of heart?
Well, you know, I think there kind of were ups and downs prior to becoming Catholic. Times when I felt closer to our Lord and times when I felt like, where is he? My prayers are bouncing off the walls as I pray, not going anywhere. But I do think that all of that was a kind of prevenient grace to lead me into Mother Church. And I kind of had the idea that once I fully came into the church, I would have nothing to write about, that there would be no new, you know, breaking news to share. And but, you know, I would kind of stop writing for lack of something to write about. And what I found is that it doesn't stop. The journey of conversion is ongoing. As long as we continue to say yes to God's gift of grace in our lives, that there's always another story or article. And I think now it has been the, you know, diving into the depths of our merciful God and how merciful he is. I think a lot of people on the outside have a perception, if you go to daily mass or if you, you know, receive the sacrament of confession once a month or, you know, once a week, that you think you're so holy. And those are some changes that I've made in the last year or two, you know, availing myself of daily mass and, you know, going to confession, if not once a week, certainly once or twice a month. And what I found is the mercy of God is so amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I'm holy, but it is bringing me closer to the one who is holy and conforming me more to his holiness. And I have a spiritual director who is also my confessor, and he keeps my eyes on Christ and keeps me moving, you know, in the right direction. So that's probably the most recent, just, you know, there's always something. And right now it is just kind of amazing and so merciful.
Okay, let's, before we get into your work of mm-hmm. current times, just round out the picture. You had a marriage which was annulled, and mm-hmm. then you said in your narrative that you met someone and that you married again. Tell us about your family situation.
Sure. My husband and I live west of the greater St. Louis area. We live on 4 acres, and our daughter is in 8th grade. I have 3 older children from that first non-sacramental marriage. They're grown and married, and I have 3 grandchildren and 1 on the way. The youngest one will be born till the end of June or the beginning of July. My daughter, the youngest one, is coming into the church, which is so exciting. That's the newest answer to prayer in our world. She will be coming into the church on Pentecost Sunday. She's mm-hmm. a little bit late coming to RCIA, so she won't be coming in at Easter Vigil. She'll be coming in at Pentecost. And
praise
her
God.
Youngest, what's that?
Praise God.
No, and this is, well, Deacon Tom, you've been praying for this one.
Yes.
You know, this has been, you know, this amazing journey just to watch her. And her youngest one will be baptized at Easter Vigil, which again is another prayer concern. Mm-hmm. And she's pregnant again, and that baby will be baptized soon after he comes into this world. So God has been answering an entire, it's like dominoes falling. I get to watch all these things happening, and just amazing answers to prayer.
There's so many things that I'd like to spend time on with you, Denise. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking before I started recording how close I've felt to your work, your ministry, and to your family.
Mm-hmm.
But our topic for today is vitamin G for grace. And as a writer and blogger, we'll give you some credits a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
As a writer and blogger, tell us, first of all, what grace is to you according to the church.
Okay. Well, you know, grace is central in that. I think it was a big misunderstanding in my previous, you know, as an evangelical Protestant. So to get rightly ordered and understand things theologically, as I was coming to the church, I read cover to cover the entire catechism, and it is just fantastic. And there's no need to reinvent the wheel. It is just all there, you know. And even on the teaching of grace, the catechism tells us that it is a free gift from God. I don't merit it. I don't deserve it. But out of the goodness of our Creator who loves us and made us, He gives it to us freely. And He also lets us freely receive it, so we can freely say yes or we can say no. We can walk away from this amazing gift that is actually the very participation in the life of God. It's supernatural. We begin this journey through baptism. We receive sanctifying grace at baptism. Our souls are healed from sin. Original sin, and if anyone is like I was at 13 when I was baptized, I had personal sin. All of that sin is gone. We are healed, and He begins to sanctify us through this sanctifying grace. And then there are times when God comes and does a specific thing, a specific intervention in our life, and that is actual grace, where He inserts Himself in and He causes an event to steer us in the right direction, to keep us moving on towards conversion. And it's paragraph 2002 that talks about, and I love this line in the catechism, it says, God's free initiative demands man's free response. God gives us this gift, and then He says, you know what, it's yours. You can say yes to it, or you can say no to it. And, you know, put like that, wow, why would you ever say no to, you know, God's plan? This is, He called you and made you for a purpose, but you get to choose to say yes or no to it. And then the catechism talks about sacramental graces, and I love the way my parish priest puts it. He says that the sacraments are God's foothold on this world. He meets us. He interacts with us, comes to us through the sacraments, and we receive sacramental grace through the sacramental life of the church. But we also receive special graces. So, for example, you, Deacon Tom, you have a special grace or a charism to your vocation, you know, as a husband and a deacon, but also to your calling with Catholic Vitamins. God has given you a special charism for that ministry, and God has given me a special charism for writing. And all of these special gifts or special graces are for the building up of the church, for the common good of the body of Christ. So, I mean, that is just a quick overview of what the catechism says, but it is, in a nutshell, it is God is meeting us every need that we have, and He says, here, here. I want to heal you. I want to provide what you need to fulfill your calling, but you get to say yes or no to it.
Mm-hmm. So, as a first step towards recognizing the body of work that you're involved in, we'll let our new listeners, the ones that have not been with us a long time, know that you write under a column idea called Catholic by Grace, which tells us, which tells me, that grace has been recognized as a very significant factor in your life. First of all, tell us about your writing and then about why you chose the title.
Okay. Like I said, towards the end of my RCIA time in 2005, I wrote an article thinking, I don't know if anyone will find anything good in this or not, but it came out of my journal from my conversion, and I sent it to the local paper, and they ran it, and they asked me to start writing something once a month for them. And eventually, still in 2005, it was towards the end of 2005, the Archdiocese of La Crosse, Wisconsin, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City started publishing my articles too. And it was the editor at the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City that asked me to come up with a title for the column. And I thought about it, and I came up with the title Catholic by Grace. And so that has kind of been the marker. The column is Catholic by Grace. And so in 2009, when I started my blog, I called it the same thing. And would you like me to tell you why I chose that title?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, when I was coming into the church, I realized probably the most, as if they aggrieved me so much that the significant misunderstanding that I had as an evangelical Protestant regarding what the word grace means. And it basically had been the dividing line from the Protestant Reformation and Mother Church. And if I had only understood the word grace and what grace means, I would not have seen this divide. It wouldn't have even made any sense to me to not be part of Mother Church. So here I am looking at this, you know, the beautiful definition of the word grace and what the Catholic Church has to say and make perfect sense, lining up with Scripture perfectly, lining up with what the saints said. And yet the word grace had been the biggest misunderstanding, and I had come from a family. No one was Catholic. No one. I can't even get anyone to admit that anyone has ever been Catholic, although you and I both know if there were any Christians in my family prior to the 1500s, they had to be Catholic.
Sure, sure.
Nobody's admitting it. And so I looked at this and I thought, oh, this is tragic. So it was on my own private little joke with myself to say I'm Catholic by grace, because I do recognize that I've come into Mother Church by sheer grace of God. And so I turned it upside down, or actually I turned it right side up, and I said, I'm going to have that be my motto. I am Catholic by grace. This is just one of the most amazing gifts God has given me.
Amen.
So that is how I chose the title, Catholic by Grace.
Okay.
And so if I can give listeners maybe a little bit of background of what happened and what kind of went wrong in my own viewpoint of the misunderstanding. Would that be okay?
Sure, sure.
Okay. Well, part of the problem was we had a very, as evangelical Protestants, at least I did, I had a very loose understanding of the word grace. For example, things I was taught an acronym. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. If you take each of the letters, you know, and you come up with a definition, G-R-A-C-E. Well, that's just very clever and wonderful, but really doesn't really teach us anything. It certainly doesn't go as deep as what the Catechism does. In fact, in my faith heritage, and for me, saying I was saved by grace in my mind was identical to saying I'm saved by faith, faith alone. Now, sola fide, that's one of the battle cries of the Protestant Reformation, the dividing line. And we know that we are not saved by faith alone. But what had happened was we were looking at certain passages in Scripture. For example, Ephesians 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that's where we stopped. So we were saying, we're saved by grace, and then we would just make it synonymous. We're saved by faith, okay? And then you go on to verse 9, it says, not from works. Like, hey, okay, so those Catholics, they think that they are saved by works, but we Protestants, we know better. We're saved by faith. Okay, that's not what the verse says. It says, I've been saved by faith through grace. But you have to look at verse 10 to get the full picture. And this is what it says. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Mm-hmm. That God has prepared in advance for me that I should live in them. So the beautiful thing is the church is the full picture. I am saved by grace. I am being saved by grace. I hope to be saved by grace through faith. He gives me faith, and I can say yes to it. I can't claim it. I can't say I'm so amazing, I have this faith. It is a pure gift from God that I can say yes to. And he also proposes these great, wonderful works that he created for me to do. And I also can say yes or no to them. It keeps me from being able to boast, really. I can't say, oh, look, I have done all this wonderful stuff, written all these articles. That, too, is just a gift from God that I happen to say yes to. And James is another one. James, the same chapter, chapter 2. We have troubles with chapter 2, I guess, as Protestants. It says, for whoever keeps the law but falls short in one area, you know, is guilty with respect to the entire law. We would stop there and say, okay, so you're not saved by works. of the law. Well, we would say that means you can't be saved by any works. But if you go on and you look further in James, going to verse 17, faith without works is dead. So there you get the fullness of it. You also see, okay, show me. You have faith, I have works. And James says, well, demonstrate your faith to me without works, and I will demonstrate my faith to you from my works. So the thing I realized coming into the Catholic Church was that we had mishandled the definition of grace. We had taken grace, saying I'm saved by grace, and made it equal to being saved by faith and completely thrown out works. And we used it as a dividing line to say, this is how we're different from Catholics. But it completely blurred the definition of grace. To get right to the heart of it is a gift from God. And out of grace, we are presented with faith to say yes to it. And we're given more if we do say yes. We're given these wonderful works we were made to fulfill. And if we say yes to them, you know what? We're given even more. So, you know, it was difficult for me. It still is, because I think this is still, you know, in my extended family, we have difficulty seeing eye to eye on these things. And my son recently put one of the verses from James, you know, James 10, up on Facebook. And I went back and I put, you know, I added the 17 and 18 to give the full picture. And he was not pleased with me. Like, it's just scripture. And we both certainly should be able to stand in scripture and have an agreement there. But we don't. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing. So I think my own private little joke is, I'm Catholic by grace, because this is where the full abundance of the grace, it passes through Mother Church to us, and I see it and I recognize it. So that's the sum total. The teaching on grace didn't send me away from the church. In fact, it drove me to the very heart of Mother Church.
So you've given us the sort of scriptural and catechism approaches to mm-hmm. grace, and you've testified about your own faith walk. Let me construct a scene for you, because okay. I've been in this situation as a leader of an RCIA class, or several mm-hmm. of them. If you were in a classroom in an RCIA setting, and you're with people who think they're on their journey towards possibly entering the church,
right.
And you were doing an evening on grace, how would you discuss it with them to let them know that they have grace that's working in their life right now and even more so
right.
in the future?
Well, and that's the exciting thing, right? I mean, we can take them to the catechism and they can read it, and especially youngsters, you know, confirmation students, whatever, their eyes might glaze over. I don't know. I mean, to make it real for them is key. The personal application, I think, it helps them to sort of catch the zeal and the fire of what this really means, you know, where the rubber meets the road. So when I'm teaching, and whether it's, you know, while I'm writing or teaching adults or confirmation students, we have eighth grade confirmation here, I try to do it with a story. And I do it for a couple of different reasons. Once it's for one, it's very engaging. And for two, I'm not an expert theologian. You know, like the catechism speaks for itself, but I am an expert on my own life. So I use my life experiences to make it real. And in fact, recently I was talking to a confirmation class, and I said, okay, let me give you an example. When I was feeling called to come into the Catholic Church, that was a grace. I could have said no, I didn't. I said yes. That was a gift from God, and I said yes to it. And so I was thinking, where do I go next? What do I do? And I had a memory of my dad about 2 years earlier. He had been talking about the ministerial board he was on, and that there was a priest from that town that was also on it that he respected. I don't remember anything else about the conversation except for the name Father Larry. I didn't even remember his last name. That was a grace that my dad said it, and that I had a memory of it, and I said yes to it. And my yes meant that I needed to do research, because he was no longer in that town. I had to figure out where he was and find him and call him, and I did. And when I spoke with Father Larry, I said, I have this strange urge to become Catholic. I don't even understand what's happening. What do I do? I don't know anybody who can help me. And he said a number of things, but the one that thing that sticks out the most, he said, Denise, go to John 6 and read it and ask yourself this. Can you take Jesus at his word? And this is what he said. Because if you can, this journey will keep going for you. And if you cannot, this is where it will end. What he said was a profound moment of grace. First of all, we both know it's the source and summit of the faith he was talking about. But also, he was indicating the very truth of grace. It's presented to you, Denise. You get to say yes, or you get to say no. But here's the exciting thing, and this is what the point he was making to those students in the confirmation class. This is a journey God has presented you with, made you for, a specific journey just for you. You get to say yes, or you say no. How exciting is this, though? If you say yes, you get to go on the very journey you were made to go on, but you can turn and walk away. And the kids, their eyes were right there. They totally got it. And they completely understood that. Why would you say no to something so exciting and wonderful as that? Well, that's the essence of, you know, the life of grace and participation in the life of God. And it is those moments where, you know, the life story, you know, life actually lived. It's just the zeal one person has catches. It's like St. Catherine of Siena says, if you are what you should be, you're going to set the whole world ablaze.
Oh, amen.
And I think that's grace in action in the life of, you know, the people of God.
Dear listeners to Catholic Vitamins, you're listening to Denise Bossert. She is a columnist, a blogger, a spiritual friend and journeymate, and somebody that we've shared prayer intentions with. Tell us about your current body of work, what you're doing, and you know, I want to find out if you got a book that you're thinking about doing.
Okay. Well, I have been teaching full-time, but I stepped away from that. Recently, my daughter-in-law had a baby. My granddaughter was born on January 9th, and she was born with no life signs. And she was oxygen deprived for an additional 12 minutes. And we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know if she was going to survive. The neurologist said that she would have brain damage. I resigned from my teaching position because of our crisis, this huge family crisis. And as it turned out, the MRI revealed 72 hours later that there is no brain damage, and she is hitting all of the developmental markers on time or early even. So here I am. You know, I'm no longer teaching. So I've turned my attention to family, and my daughter, like I said, is coming to the church. So God has just been blessing me like crazy. And I'm writing, and I've been writing since 2005, and I continue to do so, speaking on occasion, and doing basically things like that, and just trying to grow in my faith and stay close to the sacraments. As far as you asked about a book, no. It's not no, because if God presents that to me, I will say yes. But I think the thing that I have, at least where I see things going right now, is that I have little stories, and they're just little stories of regular life, and that's what I share, whether I'm, you know, speaking or writing. And that is engaging for listeners, because they can see a headliner that has, you know, just this huge following, a big name, big Catholic name, and they're like, I can't do that. But when they hear a little story about a grandma who has a baby, a granddaughter born, you know, and goes through that journey, or whether it's just a conversion experience or saying yes, or a daughter who's fallen away and is coming into the church, they say, I get that. I can do that. That is something I can replicate. So, you know, maybe God has a book for me down the road. But right now I see just little articles and little stories and just, you know, sharing the zeal that I have for Mother Church and for our Lord Jesus Christ with other people. So
Okay.
I guess the rest you'll have to reveal.
All right. So, final question, although as I emailed you, I would love to, I wish we were together for an hour or two, but if an angel from the Lord God appeared to you and said, Denise, I'm going to, on behalf of the work that you've been doing, offer you three wishes, what would Denise's wishes be?
Okay. I think the first one is, because it is a heartache when we have family members who don't see what we see in Mother Church. I think first one would be, please help my extended family to see the beauty that I see in Mother Church, because it's just pure joy. It's not because I think I am so smart. It's because it's just a treasure chest I want to throw open for them. So that's number one.
Okay.
Number two is most important of all, though. Lord, help me to make it to heaven, and help all that I love, my family, to make it as well. You know, that should be our ultimate goal, right? To be together with the ones we love in the presence of God for eternity. The third one, okay, so that I would leave behind a legacy that helps other people find their way. You know, like the saints for me, St. Augustine, St. John of the Cross, and the third person I read was St. Teresa of Avila. It was that sequence of saints' writings that led me into Mother Church. I guess if I could just have anything, it would be, let me in some small way be able to do that for someone else.
Beautiful. How beautiful. All right, we're coming to the end of the time that we set up to do this. Let us have your connective information. Where can people find you? What different places?
Sure. Well, I am in diocesan newspapers, but I also post things on my blog, and they can find that at www.catholicbygrace.blogspot.com. And Catholic by Grace is all lowercase and crammed together.
Okay. And do you do either Facebook or Twitter?
I am on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. And when my granddaughter was born, I called everybody to action and a prayer. So, yes, they can find me in all of those venues as well.
I remember praying for
I know you did.
Eliana, right?
Yeah, Eliana. And her name means God answers prayer. How about that?
It's beautiful. Just beautiful.
Yep.
Well, Denise, from all the time that we've been in connection, it's just been such a joy to know you and to be a little part of trying to help get the word out about your ministry and work and about your faith enthusiasm. Thank you for taking the time to come on our show today, and we hope that we will be able to stay in touch with you.
I do as well, and you are most welcome. Thank you.
Grace Revisited on Catholic Vitamins, Denise Bossert. And speaking of a wonderful lady, from time to time we feature our correspondent, Kendra Von Esch, and here she is with a message that's timely as well.
Hello, this is Kendra Von Esch, a recovered corporate executive who left it all behind to help bring others to a deeper relationship with God and the beautiful Catholic faith. Here is my reflection for today.
Come, Spirit of God, and breathe on me.
How many times have you said, wait, I'm not ready? Could be for anything. Marriage, kids, a job, a career change, to make that presentation, to have that hard discussion with someone, to learn that new skill and put it into real-life practice. We will never be ready because we are living in the future all the time and planning for the day when we will feel ready to make that change in our lives. What if I told you that I have learned to love uncertainty and live day by day with the Holy Spirit in the present moment? By having a deep relationship with God, I can see, hear, and feel the Holy Spirit in the people and situations around me, and I begin to move in the direction of God's will. So let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us each and every day. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. And let's make the daily commitment that is necessary to put God first in our lives, and for us to surrender to Him, to be sure we are living according to His amazing plans. If you struggle with focus, and of course, time to pray, check out my video prayer course. For more inspiration, free downloads, and resources, check out KendraVonEsch.com. Have a blessed and inspired day.
Well, time spent with Dee, lovely Dee, time spent with Denise Bossert, another Dee, and Kendra Von Esch, who's a delight, another D.
Daniel Rose, another D.
Yes.
My gosh.
As we move towards the end of the show, we have a little bit of time left for Pradala. D was reminding me that we're coming up on what they call the monsoon season here in Arizona. Well, first of all, 4th of July.
Right.
And if there's fireworks and they're heard around here, our dog is going to be...
What? Fireworks and then thunder from the monsoon season. So this is not a time of year when we get a lot of sleep sometimes.
I know. It's just terrible. Our dog is petrified.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Absolutely petrified about loud noises. And we are convinced that she can sense the barometric pressure changing. She becomes nervous and starts moving around a lot. And... So
before we even sense anything.
Yeah.
Well, there will be no fireworks in our town this year. So hopefully the 4th of July will be a okay day for her.
Was it a couple of years ago that we heard a horrendous crash on our front door?
Oh my gosh, yes.
I think we were in bed when we heard this noise.
We were getting ready to go to bed, yeah.
And
I actually thought there was a person out there that was trying to break down our door.
Yeah.
And it turned out it was a scared, really scared dog. Not from our neighborhood. We don't know where it came from.
Right. And it would have been nice for us to let it in, but we didn't know if it was rabid. We didn't know if it was a wolf, quite frankly. And he got in maybe to the fenced yard or inside the house of our neighbor next door. And they cared for it and then got it to a shelter the next day. And the dog was eventually reunited with his family, which is a good ending to the story.
But it was scary for us for a while.
Well, Dee, we have a book giveaway to do, our monthly giveaway of a Catholic Vitamins book.
And the title is Teachings for an Unbelieving World. Newly discovered reflections on Paul's sermon at the Areopagus.
You remember when we were at the Areopagus?
I remember when you were at the Areopagus.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You were sick that day.
I was sick on the cruise ship.
Oh, how terrible was that? Well, we were with a priest who, we've told the story before, we were with a priest who wore a full cassock, and he stood up on the very rock that Paul had preached or taught the wise men of that area, and he repeated almost word for word the whole teachings that Paul did. I see that you are men of faith, and, you know, he just repeated that thing. And it was wonderful to see and to hear. It was easy to imagine Paul standing there and doing that same thing. And when he was finished, we had videoed a good part of it. When we were finished, we were walking down off this rocky outcrop, and this one person came up to me who was not a part of our party, and he said, "What was that he was talking about?" And I thought, "Oh my gosh, the gospel is yet to be heard in certain parts of the world."
I'm so thankful for the video.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I wouldn't have got to witness that at all.
Yeah. That was a Catholic Answers cruise, wasn't
right.
it?
Yeah. And we talked recently about how you said you'd like to do another one.
I would like to do one more Catholic Answers cruise.
Because it's nice. You're with people of faith, and we have a priest with us. We do Mass on the ship when we're not able to go, you know, on land for any ports and port stops. If we're on the sea, we have talks and Mass.
We get some time by ourselves as well.
Very nice.
Have you ever thought about taking a cruise, dear listeners? I was against them for lots and lots of years. And then was this the first one that we took?
No. I don't think so.
Well, I took that cruise, and it really sort of changed my, you know, my idea was that all you did is eat and sit around, and I didn't really want to do that.
Actually, maybe that was our first one.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting away from the book.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
So I gave the title.
Teachings for an Unbelieving World.
And it's Teachings of John Paul II. Saint Pope John Paul II.
Yeah, newly discovered reflections. These are from
back when he was Archbishop in Poland.
So,
forward in the book by George Weigel, an introduction by Scott Hahn. So if you would like this book, send us an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com.
catholicvitamins@gmail.com.
Or
call our radio studio hotline. Sometimes it's a cold line because we're not there, but we'll leave a message. It's 928-363-4144. And I don't, you know, if you live in Ohio, you could still do this. You don't have to be a local person in Arizona.
That's great.
If you would like this, let us know, and we'll put your name into one of these famous baskets, and we'll pull a name.
Oh, a lucky person.
Well, thanks for listening to Catholic Vitamins. We're going to say adios on this show. Grace Revisited with Denise Bossert, and we have an interesting interview scheduled for the coming days, so our next show should be hopefully another way to inspire faith from A to Z, and we're going to go out after our normal closing with some more music by
our
special guest, Daniel Rose. Blessings.
Bye.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins. Company.